The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arts Complex and 24-hour service station, Letterkenny.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have another packed show in store for you this evening with some great guests. Just before we get on to that, we had some club league games at the weekend. It almost seems like a bit of shadow boxing now. Wins for Kilcare over Ardragh. St Unions beat Killybegs. Glenswally drew with Bundoran. And the big result was Niamh Connell putting in another fine performance to beat Gweedore. Now, my guests this evening are Mo O'Donnell, Paddy Bradley and Colin Parkinson for some great GAA debate. But first on the line is our one and only Highland Radio pundit. It's Mo O'Donnell. How are you this evening, Mo?
Good, Brendan. Hi, thanks for having me on. How are you getting on?
Mo, I've been listening to some Bits and Bees of your commentary. It's been, brilliantly entertaining. Some of the games, you've remarked it yourself, Donegal, the entertainment in the games has been phenomenal. And again, the weekend's victory over Cavan was no different.
Yeah, that's definitely true to be said. Donegal are playing super stuff at the minute. Very, very impressive stuff. Like, it's really, really good to watch, and to be very, very happy with a lot of their displays themselves. Like, let's take the league earlier on, won in their three games quite comprehensively, at the beginning of the year you would have thought, with the whole thing with COVID, you just don't know how it's going to go, girls training on their own, and then coming in maybe in the last month for some collective sessions and stuff, so you didn't know what way it was going to go, but they're just, there's something different about this Donegal team this year. They're very well gelled. I know they lost a number of big players, but the girls will tell you themselves that there's just this different atmosphere and different feel about it. Like, and they're, maybe that's down to maybe not club football not happening either, and maybe a long break through due to COVID, and they're just loving the football at the minute, and it's really, really showing out in the field. As I said, they won their first three league games, one into a Cork semi-final. They'll be come away from that very disappointed. I'm sure they still are disappointed in certain aspects of their performance maybe on the day, but they always say themselves that their biggest opponent could out in any day is themselves, so they're trying to get over those little hurdles and work on those other things. A very slow start against Cork and the semi-final, and then we witnessed that again. Maybe that's cause for concern, Brendan, going forward. But they have a four-week gap now to work on those things, and I'm sure that they're focused maybe on going into the group stages of the All-Ireland Championship and, of course, the Ulster Final as well, which is, I think, around the 6th of August.
Yeah, well, indeed. Yeah, what was it? 2-2 down to Cork and 1-5 to a point the last day. But then on came an onslaught, and goals is the killer in there. Just talking about the team, Mo, the freshness of the new players coming in and players, I suppose, maturing in there. Would you say that the coaching of the camp as well, and tactically how Donegal are playing and how they're expressing themselves, comes back to the training pitch?
Yeah, listen, you have to hand it to the two boys and maybe the backroom staff on there this year, Maxie and Davey McLaughlin. They're doing a great job, I suppose they started off the very first game. I remarked myself as well that there was a lot of changes throughout that game, but maybe it was early injuries as well, and they were trying to maybe get a more composed, settled team. But certainly in the last four games, then, of course, they went out with the same starting 15. That seems to have settled the girls down an awful lot as well. And as you say, there's a real balance of experience and youth throughout the team, which is clear to be seen out there. Like, you've got Niamh Higgerty, the Karen Guthries, even Captain Niamh McLaughlin, Jerry McLaughlin out there. Those are all Evelyn McGinley in the back line, Emer Galler, Niamh Carr's been there for a number of years, Nicole McLaughlin is solid enough. Those are the experienced players of the team. Even Ethan McColgan and Nets now is settling now for a couple of years and doing a fantastic job in there as well. Her kickouts have really improved. And then you've got the younger players coming into the team, like particularly Rosh and Rogers from Niamh Vora has been playing excellent stuff. I would have mentioned her a few times now. She's really, really impressed me. She has, she brings a lot of talent to the team, and it's great to see it. Blanet McLaughlin's in there as well. Shelley Tuig has moved from Cork, up. She's playing her club football with Convoy. She's, she's a great paired up there with Katie Hernan midfield, and they're doing a really, really good job as well. So you have that coming into the team. Then on the bench, you have the experienced heads like Kate Keeney, Trasa Jenkins has been there, Trasa Doherty, most people would know her as, Karen Donna. So she's been in there for a number of years. Amy Boyle Carr sitting on the bench there through injury, you know. You have younger players in, like Kate McClenahan coming into the team, scoring points. Suzanne White from Killybegs. You know, these are all coming off the bench, and that's what it takes too, you know. I suppose the age, maybe the little age that Cork had in Donegal in the semi-finals, was that they were able to take big name players off the bench. And like, that's how the game has gone now, Brendan. It's become much more focused about a panel. Like, you know, it's not just 15 go out there and do it in a day. Like, we've seen against Cork, our back lines were under pressure an awful lot. And there was, you know, with the experience, Libby Coppinger was in there. You know, you had Breed O'Sullivan and you had Ciara O'Sullivan in there. And then, you know, our girls haven't done a great marshalling job on those in the first half, and then having to see the likes of Emer Skelly and Dara Keeley coming off the bench, you know. So it's hard, that's fresh legs coming off the bench, and that's what it's going to take if Donegal are looking towards winning an All-Ireland, that they're able to take players to get off the bench, fresh legs, and it has to be a panel thing, I feel, you know.
Yeah, very good, more good round up there. I'm just looking, of course, as we have to mention Geraldine. I mean, we see 2-8 beside her name, and we've got so used to it, which is absolutely crazy in the world of forwards and ability. That's just, it seems like more often than not, that seems to be in the round what's beside her name, which is phenomenal. I mean, we haven't lost a game in Ulster since 2016, which is a serious record, Mo. And of course, now, could you just explain, Mo, how it works? It goes into an All-Ireland series now, the Ulster's park, the final isn't to be played. It goes into a group setting that's going to lead to the big games.
Yeah, I suppose no more than last year, you know, the provincials were more of an option for teams if they wanted to go into it and had to have more games, and maybe that's why Donegal opted not to go into it last year, you know. But that's why I suppose they'll be back in there now this year, looking to get their hands on the title again. They're very passionate about that. Like, Ulster football is very dogged football, you know. They're high scoring games. It's very fast paced game. But over the last three consecutive ones that they've had in Ulster from 2017 to 2019, they have won their games quite comprehensively there, you know, Brendan. Score lines, like, they're putting a racking up scores like 4-11, 9-21, 5-21. Like, Armagh, you know, happened to be at the end of that for 2 years running there, 2018 and 2019. You see now Tyrone could play Armagh in the semi-final. Tyrone only lost by Armagh in the early stages of their league campaign by a point. But like, if you look back at the group stages when Tyrone met Armagh last year in the championship, it was a 12-point deficit. So championship changes everything, you know. Teams are more up for it, and that's what we've seen there against Cavan on Saturday. You know, I would expect that Donegal to, you know, maybe take it away a lot handier, but they got off to that slow start, and Cavan really come at them, and they were really pacey. They were really impressive as a side. They're trying to get out of Division 2 football, but I mean, I think that was the difference. They were playing Division 2, Donegal were playing the bigger teams in Division 1, but Donegal, like, you know, I know they're in an Ulster final now on the 6th of August, and they'll want to get their hands back in the Ulster title again for sure. I don't see them having any problems doing that, you know.
Yeah, well,
however, they're going to be very, very focused, Brendan, on the All-Ireland campaign. They're in a group with Kerry and Galway, two serious teams. You know, Galway would be ranked at maybe top four in Ireland. And you look at the rest of the groups, Armagh, Cavan, Monaghan, Mayo was in one group, Cork, Tipperary, Meath, and then you have Dublin, Tyrone and Waterford. Like, you may say that the top two teams, Cork and Dublin, got off rather favourably in the group stages, so you know they mightn't have as hard a time getting to maybe some of the semis as Donegal will have to try and get out of their group, you know.
Yeah, great stuff, Mo. Listen, whatever happens, it's going to be an exciting championship ahead, and Donegal are going to be in there with a serious tilt at it. Mo, you keep up the good work there, and we're looking forward to hearing more of your commentary.
Yeah, listen, brilliant, Brendan, thanks for winning.
In the world of podcasting, there's one that stands above all others, routinely number one, and it's hosted by my next guest, the one and only Colm Parkinson. How are you, Colm?
Not too bad, Brendan. How are you?
Now, Colm, we have obviously a radio show here, and we do a bit of podcasting as well, so thankfully I don't go head-to-head with you, but I'm glad I don't. We can both be friends. Seeing as we both come on each other's shows, I think there's plenty of room out there. Obviously, us up here, we concentrate on, you know, mostly Donegal, GAA. You're covering the whole country. Colm, it's full-on stuff.
Well, it can be a little bit challenging, let's just say, during the National League when there's four divisions to try and cover in an hour, you know. So, like, I mean, that's the hardest thing. It actually calms down a little bit for the Championship now. There might be three or four games on at the weekend at the start, in, you know, in comparison to 16 games across the four national leagues. So, you know, the championship's easier to manage, I find.
I noticed that last year when we started it around, you know, you had the county stuff. And you, as I say, we based most of it Donegal, Ulster. Kinda once the club stuff started in between, you know, all your levels of football, hurling, ladies, it went crazy. It was a big wake up call for me. Will I not think
well,
about
it? It is, considering you're covering hurling now, which is incredible. That's like me going over to cover ice hockey or something like that.
Easy now, you have played a wee bit for Bertie, and we have a strong Galway line in the family, my mum. Actually, my first five times in Croke Park, Willie, was to watch Galway play hurling.
Really? Yeah. I never took you as a small ball man.
This listen, if you had seen me playing for Bert back in the under 16, 14 days, you wouldn't have still said I was. My sisters would all play Camogie with Donegal, and because of mum and that influence, we would always been pucking about, you know. Whenever Union's team started up again, I wanted to play. There wasn't a hurley team for a long time, and it started up again then, Willie, and I remember the chairman was playing and he broke a bone in his hand. And he, when I was asking about playing, I remember he put up the cast and he says, no chance. You're not allowed.
So. Hurling's too much of a rural game for you. It's not really a towny game. You're too Flash Harry for hurling.
There we go. Tell me, well, just your week then. Do you commute to shoot? You're in Port Leash, obviously. I'd seen it in a couple of kids. Where do you go to shoot the show?
Yeah, well, I come up on a Monday and a Thursday. Well, I'm only back up the last month now with the COVID. I was stuck in the house for 13, 14 months. It was absolutely, I hated it, absolutely despised it, being stuck in the house all the time. So I'm back up now, recording on a Monday and a Thursday. So I do a hurling show and a football show, maybe an hour and 15 minutes each on the Monday, and I do the same on a Thursday. So that's kind of the routine.
I would never have took from your Twitter attacks that you had any issue with the lockdown at all. That's something new.
Yeah, I don't like being told what to do, Brendan. Who would have thought it?
Well, I'm quite summary. I can't even stand people telling me where to park or on the car park. That's the kind of issues I have, Willie. So, yeah, I think this was a wee bit different, this one. But, surely then. Well, I was just looking at the season so far. Before the season started, Willie, there was the talk of the rules and that. I mean, I think on shows and that, we get all deep into these new rules. The season starts then, and you're kind of like, as some of them, like, I think the mark now at this stage is just a joke. And, you know, the penalty thing, I can get something looking to come in to help out that type of a cynical foul. Well, it's almost as if the tactics of the game have moved on so fast that now the GAA is trying to respond to try and cut out, I guess, people trying to find, you know, darker ways of winning football matches. Do you think it's difficult for them? It's counteractive, and certainly, I think, for things like the mark, why is it still there?
Well, the mark is an abomination at this stage. Like, I mean, the reason the mark was initially floated and it received loads of positive reaction, it was supposed to be a kick outside the 45 and caught inside the 21. Now, you see, if you saw in the Galway-Monaghan match, young Tierney caught a great catch, a long ball by Paul Conroy. He caught a ball on the edge of the square, and nobody would really begrudge a great fetch like that, maybe getting a tap over. And for some unknown reason, just at the last minute, the committee changed it to a catch inside the 45-metre line. They said that the 21-metre line was too difficult to know if it was going to be caught inside or outside, and the refs would have problems with it, you know, and stuff like this. Like, there's two umpires looking at it, of course. Like, how can they tell if a penalty's inside the line or outside it? I didn't accept that reasoning. So they did that. Like, all the feedback was regarding the advance mark kicking outside the 45 and caught inside the 21, which is a good bit of hang time, Brendan. And, you know, it'd be more of a spectacular catch, let's just say. You're going to be definitely marked and under pressure with someone on the full back line. And incredibly, they changed at the last minute. It was voted through at Congress. And now we have the abomination that we have now, where fellas are just catching a shitty little crossfield ball into their belly and they're getting a mark for it. Like, I mean, that has no business in Gaelic football. It's silly. Nobody asked for it. Yeah. Nobody agreed to it. And it's this committee's fault. So, like, I mean, I absolutely think that needs to go.
And is it in for the championship?
Oh, it's in for this year, yeah. It's definitely in for the whole year.
See, before you get the pen on, sir, when I look at forwards catching a mark like that, as you said, like an old crappy pass, they're looking their faces, they can't believe. They put up this hands up, they say, I'm getting a free shot here. You know, even I think their body language tells you that this is so simple, because in movement terms and in terms of what they've had to do to win the ball, as you said, as they were trying to, I think, get around bank of defence and bring back that art of hitting the target man inside, they've now created what is a bit of a joke. And listen, Molly, if that could decide a provincial final, a semi-final, a final.
Well, that's the thing. And, like, I mean, nobody wants to see that. And the great thing about the mark in the other way, from the 45 outside the 21, like, that might be only used maybe 3 times an entire game. But it add a bit of drama to the game. You know, like Paul Conroy did in the last minute against Monaghan, it was caught. And that, for me, that would add a little bit of excitement when you see a couple of balls kind of pumped in like that. And let's see who can get up and fetch it. And if you can go up and fetch it, you know, the whole idea, you're not going to be surrounded when you come down in a free given against you. You're going to get rewarded for that good catch. Like, these are skills of the game that an 8-year-old shouldn't really be rewarded for, like a catch into their belly. You know, it's wrong, and it should either change it back or get rid of it altogether at this stage now. Because, like, I mean, there is absolutely no one I've spoken to or I've heard or seen that thinks it's a good idea now, other than the committee that changed it at the last second.
Yeah, they're going to stick to that. Yeah, I often wonder what they think of this Woolley as it goes on. Surely it should be left open that it can be pulled out pre... You know, the league's a league. Well, of course, you know, it's not going to make or break anybody's season. Of course, you don't want to get relegated, etc. But it's, you know, it's a championship that they should have had a discussion on it again, and surely the weight would have been against it. But you were going to talk about penalties there. Well, again, the penalty thing started off and it was keen, like, this is going to be a big part of the game, and it's just suddenly died. There hasn't been much word about it at all. Is it a thing where people now have got afraid of making that tackle and causing the penalty? Maybe that is a good thing.
Maybe it is a good thing, but, like, I mean, the penalty, I wouldn't really agree with the penalty. The penalty was brought in, this new rule was brought in to appease hurling people like yourselves, you know, because they didn't have a black card. They didn't have a penalty for cynical fouling. And hurling people despised the black card because, you know, it got a lot of negative press in Gaelic football, and they thought it would slow the game down. So the compromise with hurling people was that they would give a penalty for a deliberate foul inside that 21 or the arc. Now, football already had a black card for everywhere in the field, so you're already sin-binned anywhere in the field in Gaelic football. We already had that punishment. But for some reason, again, you know, without really be anybody asking for this in Gaelic football, they extended the hurling compromise, and they brought it across into Gaelic football. And to be honest, I wasn't even aware of that until I saw the penalty in one of the first games. But look, we haven't seen many more examples of it. I don't think it's right, because I don't think, like, I mean, you're coming in along the end line, Brendan. Look, we saw Niall Cairns give that little ball to Darren Hughes to score the goal against Galway. If Niall Cairns was fouled that time, how could a referee tell if there was a goal-scoring opportunity on there? There wasn't really. It was just kind of bad defending and a brilliant goal by Darren Hughes. But a referee now has to weigh all this up in his head. If Niall Cairns had been fouled out there, it wouldn't have been a penalty because, you know, it didn't look like there was any goal on. Galway had loads of players back. So again, you're asking players to ref the game, and you're also asking referees to ref the game, and you're also asking them to pretty much be analysts, you know, to be able to decide whether a goal-scoring opportunity is on or not.
But, boy, listen, and I get your points, and there's always going to be a bit of ambiguity, and also there's going to be times when it's very hard to call. But, Willie, that said, that aside, it's an Ulster final, as I say, a semi-final, whatever it is. There's a guy who's going through on goal, and he's going to win the match, and he gets hauled down. Surely, whatever we do, we have to protect that side of things. Now, if there's question marks over certain decisions somewhere in there, but the cynicism that we've seen, obviously, with the famous Sean Kavanagh pulled down against Monaghan, the cynicism we see in that, surely that has to be taken out of the game, the fact that players are willing to do that.
Yeah, but you suppose this new rule wouldn't have changed where Kavanagh pulled McManus down, because it was well out the field, so that wouldn't be a penalty. Like, I mean, this new rule wouldn't change that. And, you know, in hurling, you can pretty much score a goal anywhere inside the 21, you know, just whiz the ball. How often do we see, you know, goals coming in from an angle, you know, blasting the net? You don't really. Like, we have a penalty there. You know, and we have a black card there. For me, I don't think it needed it. I think the sin bin was a great, you know, advancement on the black card, because you punish the player and you punish the whole team, being down to 14 players instead of just punishing the player. Because when you're punished yourself, you will be able to relate to this, Brendan. Mm. When you're messing in school, when you're back in school, if the whole class got a punishment because you were messing, you probably wouldn't do it again. Whereas if you're just kicked out of the class, you know, you'd probably be laughing to yourself outside. You know, if you punish everybody, players would be less likely to do it. So the sin bin is really good, because you're letting your team down by putting them down to 14 men. So I think that was going to work. I don't know. I just don't think, nobody asked for this new penalty rule anywhere inside the 21 or inside the arc. It's just a bit of a head scratcher as to why they had to bring it across the Gaelic football when it was initially kind of agreed for hurling.
Yeah, right on that then. But, well, who's impressed you so far this season? Obviously, we're Donegal here. We only look at Division 1. I'll not take you down the divisions, really. We concentrate on that. Well, what have you made of the two regional leagues in Division 1?
I think it's been good. Like, I mean, Donegal, Monaghan started in a game that was just an incredible game to watch, and Donegal maybe, rightly or wrongly, they conceded goals and maybe weren't as adventurous in their next two games. But, you know, like, I mean, the thing about Donegal, and I was looking at it because I'm going to do a bit of a preview today, like, I mean, they've got a lot of injuries, and, you know, they've been able to win Ulsters through the preliminaries before. But coming into the championship now, starting next week, this weekend week, they've got four games in 5 days. It's one to win Ulster. And the week after the Ulster final, being an All-Ireland semi-final. It's a dreadful, dreadful schedule coming on the back of four games in 5 weeks, you know, with injuries coming in. So, like, I mean, for me, Donegal are the best team in Ulster. But that schedule is going to be really difficult for them. You know, like, I mean, Tyrone have a bit of an identity crisis. Monaghan look decent and lively. Armagh potentially might make the Ulster final, and it could be Donegal, Armagh, Ulster final. You'd be confident with that. How many Donegal men are going to be still standing at that stage, though, Brendan? Like, I mean, it's cruel. It's cruel, and it's cruel what's being asked of them. And, like, I'm not blaming anybody here, because obviously an exceptional year. You could blame the GAA for not fighting for their elite status and starting the season back in February or March. Yeah. Why they just, you know, allowed this to happen. And now players, like Donegal players, will be playing 8 games in 10 weeks. And that's from a standing start, Brendan. That's not like, you know, with maybe a 3 week training together before it. So it's completely cruel on players. I think Donegal will suffer in the championship because of it. I don't see them, they could potentially not win Ulster, when I would say 7 times out of 10 Donegal would win Ulster, because, you know, they're the best team up there. But that schedule is tough.
Yeah, the cautionary side, you're right, Willie. The fact that they were in the elite and then taken out of it, I can understand maybe not bringing back games, playing each other and bringing together squads of people and that, but actually letting them train to perform at that level. Yeah. And as we see, that's all you hear, sure, soft tissue, soft tissue. I mean, well, when have we ever heard of so many of that? It's just lads are coming back so quick. Just looking at background teams, Willie, we talked about the Ulster teams there. You know, Armagh bringing in Donaghy. You obviously have the, what do you call him, the wannabe hardband McKeever there in the background. You know, that was some title he put on him. obviously, you know, Geezer himself. You know, Monaghan this year, Tony Buckley coming in. Listen, Vinnie Corey McKeague. Great, big backroom teams. Rochford, Timmy Donegal, Paul McGonigal. I know Lacey stepped aside. You just looked in, you know, Galway this year coming in. Willie, we Parik Joyce in that, and Tyrone coming in with the two lads who, you know, Logan and Doher, who'd only, like, previously done under 21s. Do you think they underestimated the job that modern management does around the team and experience?
It's hard to know. Like, I mean, the problem with Logan and Doher is that they were with the under 21s. Their under 21s won in All Ireland. They beat Tipperary over in Tullamore, and, like, I mean, there was a very defensive Tyrone, because Tyrone football, not just at intercounty level, at all levels, club level, they went incredibly defensive for 10 years. And now, you know, Doer and Logan, like, I don't really know their coaching credentials too well, but they're trying to change the style of play. And Tyrone look, you know, when they go down and play a team like Kerry, who are all about kick passing, who are all about support runs, who are all about getting off, they're all out attack, really, Kerry. Like, I mean, they give a kick pass, and they don't stand admiring it. They're not expecting when the ball goes in, right, now you have to take on your man because I'm going to stay out here in case we lose it. They follow the ball. Mm. Like you see the goal, Sean O'Shea did a double back run and Stephen O'Brien gave him a hand pass. Now, a lot of teams would have just watched Sean O'Shea, stood up, here's Sean O'Shea running in goals, the angle was tightened up. No, Paul Geaney made that support run and Sean O'Shea slipped it off to him, bang, goal. Or David Clifford winning a good kick pass from Geaney, laying it off to Sean O'Shea. Sean O'Shea's bursting in goals. He looks inside. Who's inside him? Clifford. He's after laying it off and taking off back towards goal, back to Clifford and back into Minehan, a goal. They're constantly supporting the man on the ball. Now, Tyrone aren't used to following those runs, those support runs, because usually they're turned with their back to their goal looking out, you know, at teams. And like this takes a whole rewiring for Tyrone and it takes a lot of coaching. And, you know, like, I mean, a lot of the analysis after the Donegal-Monaghan match was, you know, full back lines aren't used to man-on-man. And that's fair enough. But half back lines coming from defensive systems have had it terribly handy. They've pretty much kind of been dropping off into zones in front of the full back line. And they haven't really had any marking responsibility. And down in Kerry, you're going to definitely get shown up with that. We saw it happen to Galway for the same reason. Half-back line not following all the support runs against Tyrone. Half-back line not following all the support runs. So these teams need to be rewired, Brendan. Like, I mean, and this is going to take coaching because it's gone on for 10 years in Tyrone. I don't think Donegal is as severe a case, I think. And I think Rocher is a very good coach. He knows that traditional football from his time with Cara Finn. Like, I mean, they played great football under him. When they won that first All-Ireland. So, like, I mean, I don't think Donegal are as in a crisis the way Tyrone are after shipping six goals like that.
Yeah, well, you know what got me around that was the fact that they'd done that to Galway, as you said previously. You know, I would just think as a management, that's the one thing I'd be concentrating on around, right, let's prevent that. But this Kerry team's definitely coming, Willie, and, you know, the... Remember, you're on Donegal Station here. Don't be completely burst in our bubble, but I have a feeling that you think that they're the only contenders to Dublin. The rest of us are also Rans.
At this moment in time, you can't see anybody taking on Dublin in Croke Park other than Kerry and beating them. And you would still even have Dublin pretty strong favourites against Kerry as well, you know. Like, I mean, so I think the way the championship is working, I'm pretty sure if Donegal win Ulster to be playing Kerry, yeah, and that would be their eighth game in 10 weeks. Do you know, Kerry would be much fresher coming in after playing Clare and Cork. Do you know, like, I mean, they'll be primed for that, whereas Donegal could be walking wounded at that stage. So I don't see any final other than Kerry and Dublin, if I'm being honest. And again, I think Donegal are an excellent team. The one thing Kerry and Mayo don't do, and I think Donegal needs to improve on it, is you very, very rarely see Kerry or Mayo going sideways with the ball, you know, slowing the ball down. Every one of their attacks is at pace, and they're trying to finish the move. Because you remember, if you're really slow, you're not going to get those one-on-ones on the other end of the field. You're going to have to recycle it back out. Now you're over and back the field in front of the 13 men back behind the ball, and it's all very boring. But, like, I mean, Kerry and Mayo, they attack with such pace that the other team doesn't get... Because all teams are pushing up on kickouts now, Brendan. So the faster you are with your attack, the more chance you have of an open... you know, an open opportunity on the other end of the field. But if you start going sideways and slowing the whole thing down... 9 times out of 10, the opposition is going to have at least 12 men back, you know, inside their own 65, sometimes 45, depending on how defensive they want to go. And for me, that's why I think Kerry and Mayo are the two best teams in the country to watch, because you very rarely see them slowing it down. You know, everything's done at pace. Everything's done at supporting the man that wins the ball. For me, the two of them play the best football. Donegal definitely have the potential to play that football, but I think they got a bit of a fright against Monaghan. They didn't have their full team out. It's the first game of the week. It might as well be a Dr. McKenna Cup game. I don't think there was any need to go back to the drawing board after that game. Do you know what I mean? Or was their second game rather? I don't think there's any need. McManaman wasn't playing. Like, their best man markers weren't playing. You know, I would like to, you know, continue the way you're going if that's the way you want to play. Donegal have forwards that can destroy teams. I think Donegal's forwards are better. Their attacking players with Mogan and McHugh are better than their defensive players. I would start looking at maybe 60-40, more of an attacking style. I think at the moment Donegal are probably about 60-40, you know, the other way.
I think there's reasons for that, though. Well, if you look deeper, I mean, last year Donegal played Dublin in the league. There was a point in it, not a lot in it. We thought it would be Donegal, Dublin in the semi-final until Cavan stopped it. I mean, the last night there, Donegal just wanted to avoid what happened to Roan in Galway, or happened to Roan in terms of the hammering they got by Kerry, sorry. Because, you know, Donegal were missing, you know, four or five players that would have started. And of course, the vital person in that was Michael Murphy, which completely changes everything that Donegal do for me. You know, he orchestrates everything. That's why Donegal were so controlled against Tyrone. So I think with that in mind, well, I don't think Donegal play that type of game should they play Dublin again. Sure, they'll play some version of it, but it was protection first, and particularly because they had coughed up, as you said, so many goal chances against Monaghan. They didn't play that well, particularly first half against Armagh. So I think in forward ways, we were averaging 20 points, Willie, but we were conceding 19 going into that Dublin game. So there's no doubting what needed to take a look at. It was defensively, and I think that's what Donegal were taking out of that. I think if you look at that overall, like you are, yeah, that's never going to beat Dublin. And me and you, of course, had a row going down the road about who caused what in terms of tactics in that game, and it got a bit heated. I think it was good value. You kept me going back, coming back from Breffni, Willie, because you thought I was looking at it from a Donegal perspective. I was a bit, as I say, disappointed about Dublin in terms of the team that they are playing, the tactics that they are. But you thought it was a Donegal issue.
Well, I think Donegal are in the chasing pack. They have to do something to beat Dublin. These tactics for Dublin have won them six in a row, pretty much. And I do take the point that over the course of the 6 years, they have become more conservative and more conservative and more conservative, to the point where I agree with you. I find Dublin a hard watch some of the time because they're so risk averse. They will not take a point unless it's a tap over. The flair has been coached out of them. But where's their motivation to change that? They've won six in a row. Like, they dealt with Donegal so easily the other night. Like, I mean, it was 115 to 10 points, game over. Donegal got 1-1 at the end. I think the onus is on Donegal. Donegal have lost to Dublin plenty of times playing conservatively. You don't beat Dublin like that. So my point to you that night was, when you were giving out about Dublin, I was saying that, you know, the onus is on Donegal to try something different, yeah, and to cause Dublin problems. And what teams have caused Dublin problems is Kerry and Mayo in recent years. Kerry and Mayo don't play sweepers. Like, Hugh McFadden then is dropping back in front of the full back line, and that's fine. I actually think that's counterproductive against Dublin, because if Dublin see a sweeper, they will not kick it in. Dublin don't give away the ball. They try never to give away the ball. So if you don't allow the kick pass by putting in a sweeper or two, they'll just go through the hands, turn the game into a terribly boring game, hold on to it until they have a guaranteed point, and it's terrible to watch. But whose fault is it? This is working for Dublin all the time.
But boy, see this working thing. You're on about work, right? This is a game of football. This is expression. What about the way you play? Across the sea, they talk about the beautiful game, right? You don't see top teams. You don't see Man City playing Crystal Palace and say, we're going to play like you, and we're just going to win the game 1-0. They go out and play the game. The top teams, the Liverpool team won the season last year. They play their own game. The All Blacks, any sport you go into, the top teams enforce themselves. Why, Willie, if Dublin are 7 points up with a forward line of Conn O'Callaghan, Scully, Basquiel, Kilkenny, Costlow, why have they got their full 15 inside the 45? That, Willie, is a joke, right? Go and power over Donegal and won the match the way you're supposed to. Why are you sitting like that? And you mentioned about six all there, and surely is there a point there where you think, right, we're going to play our own game. We're not going to mirror a team like Donegal that's coming up and playing somewhat defensive. And you can say, right, where does it come down to? Because GA people are nearly, because it's championship, right, I get that, right, it's results have to come first, but this was a league game, and surely when you're that good, do you not just play your own way?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I take that point, but at the end of the day, like, I mean, a huge part of the tactics of Donegal is attacking from everywhere. Right, so you'll have cornerbacks taken off, you'll have Neil McGee will take off, McManaman, like Owen Bon Gallagher, if he's in there. So Dublin, like I said, they're very risk averse. So do you want Conor Callan to stand beside Owen Bon Gallagher and let him get a yard on him. Now he's gone up the field. Conn wouldn't catch Owen Bon Gallagher, and now he's created that overlap. So what Dublin do to protect against all these attacking defenders, because that is a huge part. It was a huge part of Tyrone's tactics, Donegal's tactics, is attacking from the back, and they join in the attack and they create that extra man. So Dublin just leaves themselves at no risk of this whatsoever, and they back off these players to stay their goal side of them, and as they find themselves, you know, back kind of that way. For example, if you see Dublin against Mayo or Kerry, Kerry will always have Foley and Tadhg Morley that don't attack. They're traditional defenders. So Conn and Kilkenny or whoever's marking them will stay beside them. They don't want to come back for no reason. But this has been Dublin have every base covered, I think, and I've seen enough of them to know that they don't want. Like Dublin don't. Why did Dublin want Conor Callaghan getting tired coming back into her 45? In a best case scenario, is that he stays up there. But Dublin know what Donegal are about and know that they attack with everybody, literally everybody. And that's the way a lot of these games go.
Yeah, but Willie, that said, though, if Dublin left the platform and said, Donegal aren't going to leave those players alone, they'll stay in with them. So this thing of all-out attack is because Dublin have already dropped back inside the 45. So what stage...
I don't believe they dropped inside the 45. I don't think that's right.
Well, I've got pictures. I'll send you on, because actually during the commentary and in that period when they were 7-up, I was just like, what the hell is going on here? I'll show you. The full team was inside the 45. The full team.
But every player there, how many Donegal players were in there?
If they leave a platform, if Kieran Kilkenny and Costello stay up around the 21 and that, you telling me that Donegal is going to just leave them and head into the attack? They're going to stick with those players.
I do, because a huge part of those stalemates, Brendan, when teams drop back, is that one player that comes off the shoulder and can break through a line that's not paired off with someone. And that's what happens. Now, I think there's an argument to say, like, cheat, because we've all cheated and say, I'll let him on, hopefully the move will break down, that'll put manners on him. But at the same time, Dublin are not like that. Mannion chases back, they all chase back. Now, in Kerry, Clifford won't chase back. Clifford will call someone else to watch his man and he'll stay up. And I think that's the right way of doing it. But Dublin, I've discussed this on the show lots of times, they say you're responsible for your own man and you follow your own man. Now, I think that no full forward that's a brilliant scorer should be losing all his energy running back, doing things like that. You should be able to pawn it off to a fella who's got a bigger engine and keep your energy for scoring. But Dublin don't do that. Dublin, every man is responsible for a man, and that's it. So, like, I mean, that's the way they do it. And
yeah, but what I'm saying is, if they leave players inside, because I see this all the time, everybody, if players leave players up, then the defenders stay with them. You know,
Owen Bon Gallagher, but the whole idea.
Well, Owen Bon wasn't playing anyway for a start.
I'll give you an example. The whole idea of cornerbacks joining in the play, number one, is to pull their men out of there because they're dangerous forwards, and number two is because forwards don't like doing it. So they're getting up there, and like, I mean, if the forward doesn't follow, you've been in this situation plenty of times as a forward. That's grand if you cheat there, but if you're back. Sets up a goal or does something, sure, the whole crowd, who's marking him?
Hold on, Willie, right, Dublin are goal side of Donegal. As Donegal build up the play, the Dublin players are dropping in deeper and deeper. This is where this comes from, you see. Well, every week I see teams line up against each other, and I love seeing teams at least leave one or two. I mean, Donegal, in fairness to them, it wasn't great. They left one up quite often. The last night they had a player, at least one inside, and the Dublin player was standing with him. In terms of defending them. So if the platform's there, Willie, it is there. It is Dublin that are coming back with the men, but they're going yards, 10 yards beyond that to put up that shield.
So if you need
15 inside, Willie, geez, at least 13. What I'm saying is, if there's a platform for attack then, Willie, there's a kick pass and it opens up the game. And I'm saying, if you're a team like Dublin, surely that is, you can boss that, you could do that. That's just where I was thinking. Even that small change of leaving a couple of players up, I just couldn't believe the full team was coming inside. Well, and that thing of the full team inside the 45, every time I see it, I'm just, listen, that's just the way I think of football. I think there should always be a platform for a kick pass for an attack, and that changes the game.
I completely agree. Like, I mean, if I was over a team, I'd be telling four forwards at all times, I never want to see you coming back. Now, that's not possible all the time, because you do have to, especially the two and a half forward line, have to follow their men. Like, I mean, that's fair. And I do agree with you. Dublin are overly conservative and overly cautious. There's no doubt about that. But here's my thing. Where's their motivation? Like, when you look at it, you guys in Donegal, like, I mean, you played some of the most horrible football. I was up at Ulster Finals against Tyrone and Monaghan and Clonard, and it was desperate stuff. It was horrible, horrible. And I didn't hear too many people in Donegal complaining because you were winning Ulster titles. Like, where is Dublin's motivation?
Willie, I was complaining, and I'll tell you what, you're on about 2016 when Donegal and Tyrone, I couldn't care who won that match. So there you go. I'm one of them, right? So, Willie.
Yeah, but was there not? No, but the general consensus was.
Yeah, but
was
see, that, Willie, you know, generally, right, people then are too. The game's in the hands of us, right? Surely we have to at least try and play it a bit properly, you know, and play it. Let players express themselves. What I'm saying is, some of these teams, and this is the greatest football team ever, is still being coached to the death in terms of tactics, you know. Like, at this point, like, you go back to some of the romance of that great Real Madrid team, you know, Eusebio, Di Stefano and that. They said, what comes second was winning the European Cups. They won five of them. It was the way they played. The way they played the game, Willie. Surely that has to have something to do with it. Maybe that's just a bit too romantic for me. But surely, you know, people have to go and express themselves and go and play. Not when they're 7 points up in a league game in a perfect condition at Breffni Park. Put the whole 15 inside the 45, Willie. That's the thing that me and you were having a discussion about. And I'm glad there's a bit more effing and blinding in it on Saturday night. So I'm glad.
I don't think they're as bad as you're making out.
It was just that point, Willie. It was just that point. I was just looking, going, you know, why? Like, I think those players, listen, don't get me wrong, I still love watching them. Just some of their players, they're just unbelievable. I just think that, to me, it's almost disrespectful to the talent that they have to be sitting like that when they're so far ahead of their opposition. It's as if they're mirroring the opposition, saying, we're just going to go down to that level. And that's what I'm thinking.
Well,
like,
I agree. I think Dublin are giving teams like that two fingers and go, you think you want to take us on like this, we'll beat you every day like this. This is nothing to... And, like, I mean, you remember Donegal gave Dublin a spanking in 2014. I'd say Dublin even still get huge amount of pleasure beating Donegal at their own game. You have to remember that's another factor as well.
Yeah. Well, listen... Well, that's it, Willie. I was glad to get this discussion in a way, and thanks as ever for your points of view. We're kind of half agreeing a wee bit there and disagreeing, so that's not too bad. Here, that's what it's about, Willie. It's all opinions. As you said there, you know, everybody has an opinion on this. I just think, looking at that brilliant team, I like to see teams attack more. I know you do too, and there's a second side to that. Certainly in a game like that last night, I just thought they would have overpowered Donegal and just kept playing. But listen, there's bigger games in store, Willie. We get our full side back. We'll open up and we'll go all out attack. I'll keep you happy.
And I'm looking forward to meeting all the Donegal boys down in Croke Park when they get back there. Hopefully all Ireland semi-final, I'll be able to have a few scoops with them.
Good man, Willie. Look forward to that. And now I'm joined by former Derry hotshot all-star, now coach of the Derry under-20s. It is Paddy Bradley. How are you this evening, Paddy?
Not too bad, Breton's gone, thanks.
Paddy, listen, hey, league victory, Derry flying in the league, not just winning, coming up and winning, but winning well. I mean, if they had took their goal chances at the weekend, they would have completely annihilated Offaly off the park. So, Paddy, from the unthinkable depth of Division 4 now, is the buzz coming back in the county? Can you see something in this team that's going to come back and compete?
Oh, definitely, things are looking up. Look, it's very hard to judge Breton off the back of that Division 3. I thought the quality of Division 3 in a whole was quite poor. You're expecting, I suppose, Cavan and Tipperary, both having won in their provinces last year, they, I suppose, maybe put up a better show than they did. Whether or not they were caught out in terms of the way the season worked out, and maybe fitness levels weren't where they should be. But, you know, Derry, I suppose, can only beat was from them. They're very, very impressive. They're racking up big scores. But, look, you know, come championship time, Down or Donegal, that'll be a massive step up, and they'll probably learn a lot more about themselves and how far they've come on then. But look, it's a positive, obviously, getting out of Division 3 and getting up to Division 2 for next year, because the team is building, they're making progress, and obviously kind of the higher development will help that development.
And Paddy, what's the feeling in the background there with the style in that? Rory, obviously, you know, he was here. It was quite negative with Donegal. Bowler completely changed that. He went to Fermanagh. You know, I don't think he had the same type of player to work with at head of Derry. It obviously was, you know, it was all out defence in terms of trying to win games by a point. But I know what you're saying about Division 3, but is there a different style coming from Derry through Geller this time out?
I think everybody's playing, you know, there's not really that much of a difference between how all counties are playing at the moment. You know, people are still getting plenty of men behind the ball, you know, 10, 11, 12 men behind the ball, but they're attacking better, they're breaking at pace, they're committing more men to the attack, where maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago teams weren't doing that. And as you said there, you know, it's dictated a lot by the players you have at your disposal. Maybe in Fermanagh, maybe Rory didn't have as much attacking talent as he has. Obviously, you know, in Derry, you've got the likes of Shane McGuigan, who's playing, he's an absolute top class forward. Niall Loughlin, you know, ex-pupil of our own school, somebody that I worked closely with for a number of years, is a real good player too. And then the likes of Conor Glass and Emma Bradley come up in midfield. So they have a fair share of attacking talent and the players that can go and get scores. And I think Rory just lets them express themselves. But again, you know, that's easier against maybe weaker opposition. You know, you're going to get them chances. It'll be interesting to see, obviously, against probably looking like Donegal, you would think, but, you know, possibly Down obviously could still win that game. But say they did come up against the likes of a Division 1 team like Donegal, you know, you wouldn't expect that they are going to be able to rack up the scores that they're racking at the minute, you know, this 20 plus points.
I could see it being a cagey if it does get to that. Rodgers was out at the weekend. Is that a serious injury, as Paddy, do you know?
No, well, look, Emmett, that's like everything now. You hear very little from that.
Yes, that's right.
Families, you know?
Yeah.
You know, particularly Rangers and the like, but, you know, big Emmett there teaches with me in school, and he seems quite hopeful that Britain will be back. You know, he says, it's a hamstring injury, but he didn't think it was going to keep him out of the championship. That was, obviously, it only is now, 3 weeks to the championship, so I'm sure, I don't know what Derry's plans are. I probably think they maybe have a friendly or so organised between now and then. And then you have the likes of Karen McKay, who has got a bit of game time with this club. And like, I actually thought he might have got a bit of game time in the match of the weekend, you know, with the county. And, you know, so hopefully Britain's back and hopefully Karen's fit to see a bit of action, because you'd think defensively they're going to be tested more against Donegal than they have been this year so far.
And Paddy, tell me, you always have the thing, obviously, with Derry in terms of your clubs are so strong, and there's such a feeling in there that, you know, the county nearly was coming second to a lot of people, which is the complete opposite, as you know, here in Donegal. But certainly with Glenn, your own club, Slochneil, there seems to be a big pull from what is two of the best club teams in the country, really, for me.
Look, you know, the way the season was always structured, it always was a hindrance to the thing, because, you know, your club's trying to pull county men to play, and there was an overlap of games. But I suppose now, because of the GA calendar went the way it has, that has really suited Derry. And the way, and, you know, Stephen Barker and the county board have to get a bit of credit here, the way the Derry leagues are structured this year is there's no relegation. And so it means that, you know, players can play with the county without the fear of maybe, you know, missing club games and the club being relegated. So it's let the county players go for the last 2, 3, 4 months to concentrate, and that's obviously benefited them too. Rory, as you know, is meticulous in his approach and his training. You know, they're out 4, 5, 6 nights a week, like, and they're leaving no stone unturned, and that's really benefiting them.
Yeah, that was the big issue for years, Paddy, right? The fixture overlap had not been sorted, and they've it sorted here in Donegal, I think, as well now, with clubs being willing to play without their players and get games in, and realise that the league is the league, you know, build the championship and then they'll have a full complement back. Paddy, look, just looking into the championship then, you're still holding a wee possibility of Down doing a job as Newry.
Look, Newry's always a hard place to go. Look, Down didn't have the best league campaign by their own standards. They finished off, you know, with a one, but, you know, you still think Donegal would have too much there, but you just never know. Donegal, you know, obviously have injury worries. You know, obviously McBearty, Murphy. You know, we don't know again. You're going to tell me you don't know what's going on there. But, you know, obviously
there's ice packs everywhere, Paddy.
Well, listen to that. Like, you know, and regardless of who you are, if you're Donegal and you're going to the Mercers without either them two men or both them two men, like, that's a tough place to go and get a result. But you still would think Donegal being a Division 1 team and, you know, being, you know, one of the teams that are always in the latter stages of the All-Ireland Series, you know, you'd think that Donegal would have too much there. And look, obviously then Derry would have to go to Ballybofey if that's the case. And again, it's another tough place to go. But they're going there, and there's really no expectation on them. The fact that they were playing Division 3, they're playing a couple of levels below Donegal. The fact that, you know, as I say, Derry haven't done anything in the last number of years. So it'll just be a good opportunity to go out and test themselves against one of the best and see how much progress they really have made. Because, as I say, you can't really read too much into the league at this stage. The big full focus for Derry this year was getting out of that league. And look, as far as Roy and the team are concerned, that's job done. And anything, I suppose, now would be a bonus.
Yeah, certainly, Pat. If we do get to meet you down the line, that's setting up for a fascinating one. Of course, you know club football well in this county, been in the round and involved in it with Kevin down in Gidore, and of course Rory knows it well in that. So listen, as you said though, Newry, what a championship place to go. I was at the last couple of home games there that Down played against Armagh, and it was white hot. It's got a real old style championship feel yet, and Down will certainly be having a go, Paddy. So set up for a brilliant Ulster championship again.
Listen, that's one thing that Down always bring. You know, even if they are going poor in the league, if they do have injuries and you hear that there's maybe, you know, things aren't going well in the camp or county championship, Down, you usually always put on a performance. Like, and as you say, the Marches is a great ground in terms of atmosphere, and you can rest assured, you know, that it'll be, you know, brilliant atmosphere that day. And, you know, Down will relish that. That's typical Down. Like, for years, Down have always, you know, relished being the underdog and putting on a show. So they'll not fear Donegal whatsoever. And look, it is making up for a great championship. Like, I myself thought maybe the likes of Monaghan, when you see them in the first league game, I thought maybe they had maybe slipped a wee bit. But then you see the way they finished the league.
Yeah.
You know, they seem to have got a wee bit of a swagger back. They're just a couple of young players too.
Right.
Throwing obviously get that bit of a hammering down in Kerry, and there'll be a wee bit of soul searching there. But throwing, they always bounce back, you know, they've quality players. So look, the championship's wide open this year. Like, obviously you've got Donegal, Tyrone and Monaghan would be your favourites, but you know, there's a share of teams coming behind. Like Armagh, for example, have made serious progress this year. And the likes of Armagh, Derry or Down will fancy their chances on their day against anybody to cause a shock.
That's exactly, Paddy. Well rounded up. That's the Ulster Championship for you. And Paddy, all the best for the under 20s this year, and see how he's got on the championship. You're going to have a tilt at that.
Aye, look, again, the way it's been through onto the calendar hasn't been helpful, Breton. The under-17s is still to finish. It's on next Saturday, and Derry play Tyrone and Nitton. There probably would be six or seven of them would be in my panel, and probably two or three starters. Obviously, Ethan then, Doherty's with the senior team, and I can't have access to him because Derry play their championship game the same weekend. So I'm going to be down a few players. But look, you know, I have a small panel, but what I have, you know, what I don't have in quantity, I have in quality. They're good lads. You know, they've trained hard over the last number of weeks. It's been hard overlapping with the clubs and everything else, but whenever they have come, they've put on a good shift. And no, look, we play Monaghan, they're one of the favourites, but again, on any given day, and it's 50-50, you know, championship football. And no, we're looking forward to it.
Good man. Well, all the best with Paddy. I'll catch up with you later on in the summer, sir. Thanks for joining us on the DL Debate. Right, folks, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank my guests, Paddy Bradley, Colin Parkinson and Mo O'Donnell. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, Head of Sport, Oisín Kelly. All eyes now turned to the big game in Newry. Tune in next Monday for all the reaction on the DL Debate.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arts Complex and 24-hour service station, Letterkenny.